Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. How many of you know he's a burden bearer? Hallelujah. Cast your cares. I found rest when I found Jesus. I found somebody to carry the load with me. Not for me, but with me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. If you'll stand with me, I'll read you one verse of scripture and let you be seated once again. John 14 and 14. If ye shall ask anything, will you say anything? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. My will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I want to preach from this title for a little while, the blank check. The blank check. If you ask anything in my name, I'm going to sign it. I don't even need to know what you're fixing to ask. If you ask it, Lord, I come before you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God for your mercy, your grace, your love, for your trust. Hallelujah. I'm thankful today for I woke up. Hallelujah. I may be a dog, but I'm living this morning. Thank the Lord for that, the grace of God and the mercies of God that wakes us up every morning. Thank the Lord. I ask you to be with us as we endeavor to explore your word and dig deeper into the depths of salvation, into the well that never runs dry. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I will tell you, I've listened to Brother Valentine teaching, and he talked about perfect love. How many times did he say perfect love? And anytime you see that word perfect, that means it didn't start that way. That's what you've got to understand. Different people on different parts of this journey. But he talked about perfect faith. Well, not everybody's faith starts out perfect. Not everybody ever gets perfect. Well, let me tell you, I might as well tell you, you won't get perfect. Because if you could get perfect, you would need grace and mercy. Well, grace and mercy makes up the distance between you doing all you can do and what he can do. Amen. The blank check. A blank check is a check, of course, that's endorsed. It has the signature on it of the bank holder. And it's given to someone else with the unrestricted authority to fill out the amount that they desire. How many? Oh, my God. How many of you would just write a blank check and sign it and give it to somebody, some guy on the side of the road, tell him, hey, here, I'm going to sign a check, just fill it in. I don't think you will. It takes a while. Let me tell you, to give someone an endorsed blank check is a sign of ultimate trust. It is a sign that I trust you enough that you would not abuse me in any way. It is the true test of relationship. I trust you enough to say, go fill it in. God told Solomon one night after he had offered sacrifices and he was just giving to God. And God's like, what can I give to him? So he woke Solomon up after having a dream. And during the dream, he tells him, he said, what would you have? I'll give you anything that you, it's a blank check. Whatever you ask, because how you worship me. And Solomon said, Lord, give me wisdom and understanding to rightly judge your people. Man, hallelujah. And because the Bible says, because he did not ask for those things called wealth and gold and silver and oxen and sheep and all these things, said, I'll give you that too. What a mighty God we serve who owns the cattle of a thousand here. He said, all the gold is mine, all the silver is mine, the earth is his and the fullness thereof, everything. The heavens speak of his glory, the earth speaks of his glory. And when you begin to speak of his glory, he begins to write out blank checks. Amen. Whatever God signs, he's good for. Yeah, you don't need to check his credit score because he's never had bad credit. Amen. You can't spend enough to outspend what God can give you. He's got more where that came from. Hallelujah. I wonder this morning, I want to teach somebody how to get God. What does it take? Well, how do you gain this trust that God Himself would write His name and endorse a check and say, whatever you want, you ask, that's what I'm going to do. God, I want to show you the steps to your blank check through the life of a man we all know named Joshua. Joshua was Moses' minister. And before you can ever be a minister or a leader to God, you must be a minister to others. You will never be God's leader until you're a minister to somebody else. Do you understand that? Until you minister to others' needs, why would God use you? He uses leaders to lead people in the right way of path. And until you become a minister to what, you'll never be a leader. And Joshua was Moses' minister. He was not the leader at the time. He was the minister of Moses. And Joshua was that silent partner that tirelessly climbed the rugged mountains with Moses to support him when he came into the presence of God. Even though the mountain would quake, brother, and the fire would smoke would go up and lightning would flash and thunder would roll, he was right there with Moses as he received the words from the Lord. He was there when they came down off the mountain and they saw all the Israelites dancing around the golden calf without their clothes on. He was there. Listen, my brothers and sisters. He was there when Moses got so angry that he threw down the tablets of God. He was learning something. And he watched the tablets break. And he watched Moses as he got a chisel out and a mallet out and said, God said, I've already done it once. Now you do it. He saw how God responded to that anger. And God said, you do it, Moses. And he watched Moses. Maybe he held the chisel. I don't know. But he was there. A silent partner. You don't hear much about him. He saw the anger of Moses. And he saw the unprofitableness of it. He saw Moses when he got angry and struck the rock. When the Lord, he heard God say, just speak to it, Moses. But Moses, in his anger at the people, struck the rock twice. Yes, the water came out. But Moses lost out. And there's Joshua. Oh my God, did I learn something today? My Lord, I'm going to temper my anger because look at what happens when you get angry. It was Moses, when he needed somebody on the mountaintop in the presence of God, he took Moses. Yet when he would be facing the enemy in the valley, he would send Joshua down into the valley. And Moses would hold up his hands while Joshua would fight the enemy and he would prevail as long as Moses. Joshua was wonderful. He was a servant, if you will, unto Moses. And God had written Moses a blank check, and Moses blew it. Moses wrote in the blank check something God doesn't have. He's not like that. He struck the rock twice when God said, that's not what I told you to do. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it thee. You get outside the name and try to put God's endorsement upon it, I'm telling you, you're headed for trouble. I've seen so many times people say, well, I prayed about this, and the Lord told me, and I got a peace about that. I'm not baloney. If it's not in God's will, I don't care how much you prayed about it. I don't care how much you spoke in tongues. I don't care what if you got 10 confirmations. If it's not in God's will not stand. Until somebody else you can trust with your life savings. It was Joshua that God will ultimately trust with his life savings. Moses had gone outside the parameters of what God wanted him to do. And whether Joshua knew it or not, he was being prepared to take Moses' place. I don't hear what he's saying. Well, someday, Moses, I'm going to replace you. You messing up so bad, I'm going to take your place. We don't read where he ever thought that. He was just at his feet learning of him as much as he could. And so many times we hear people complaining and murmuring, and you don't know but what you're their replacement. And let's see how you do when you take God is not looking for people that are looking for positions. Joshua was not looking for position. He wasn't looking for fortune or fame. He was relentless in his support for Moses. He was influenced by the mannerisms of Moses, but he was not confined to the behavior of Moses. Are you hearing me? You can influence me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to act like you. Amen. Joshua would learn from the good, the bad, and yes, the ugly that Moses had done, and he would transform the word of God into the will of God. That's what we have to do. If you ask anything in my name, that I will do it. You've got to transform the word of God into the will of God. Wow. It is clear, my brothers and sisters, that God had a foreknowledge and he looked ahead and knew that Moses wasn't going to make it. That's why he trained up Joshua to watch him, because he would be a better leader and lead them into the land of promise that Moses would never get to. So he raised up Joshua alongside Moses to watch everything that happened. And now we have the death of Moses. I put fast forward on and bring you to the death of Moses. And the word of the Lord then came to Joshua at the death of Moses. And at the death of Moses, the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and you go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, and bring them into the land that I promised their forefathers. And every place, listen close, every place, Joshua, where the sole of your foot shall tread, it shall be yours and your children's. It was a blank check. If you step this way, that's mine. You step this way, that's mine. That's mine. Every place you step. This was the fulfillment of the promise that was given to Abraham many years ago. He finally found a man, hallelujah, that had been a servant long enough that he could trust with a blank check. There's not many masters give their servants a blank check. He told him, only be strong and be of good courage, and you're going to divide the land up as an inheritance, but do according to the law that Moses has told you. And whatever you do, he said, it will prosper. It's going to be a blank check. Joshua was coming into the place where God was entrusting him with the blank check. Amen. The journey has been long. I'm telling you, for somebody here this morning, the journey. Joshua has had a long journey, my friend. He would be 80 years old by the time he gets to lead them in. He had spent 40 years walking around with people that were dying. I've always thought it's interesting that their sandals didn't wear out, but their bodies did. And they died along the way. And here we go. Moses is dead, and Joshua has made this journey. He's experienced mountaintop highs like somebody I'm talking to this morning. You've experienced mountaintop highs, and yes, you've been in the valleys low with your grievous enemies, and you've seen the anger and the frustration of other people, but I'm here to tell you the journey is fixing to pay off. I'm here to tell you that you're fixing to walk into the promises of God. God is ready to endorse it and give you the blank check. Whew, hallelujah. I want to show you the final steps in getting the blank check. The final step. God always brings us, it takes a long time to be ready to meet the Lord. Can you say amen? I'm still working on it. I've told you I'm still carnal in some ways. I'm still working on it. It takes a long time. Moses built an ark for how long? Do you remember? Anybody? Where's my scholars? 120 years. And preached for 120 years. 8 people got on the boat. I'm not doing so bad. 8 people got on the boat, and that was his family. 120 years. Sliming it on the inside, pitching it on the outside, nailing and roofing and all this stuff, gathering up the food and all this kind of stuff, getting ready. But there came a time that he said, yet 7 days. Woo-hoo, hallelujah. It came a time, he said, yet 7 days. And Joshua's getting to that time now. Now, it's been 40 years, but it's now. We're fixing. I'm telling you, somebody is in the yet 7 day period. You're right at the brink. Hallelujah. Don't be turned back this time as the forefathers were, but yet 7 days. It won't be but 3 days, Joshua, you're going to cross over and you're going to take the land. But there's some stuff you got to do before you cross over. Oh, I want to show you the steps if I can this morning. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the other side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. This is a replay of the Red Sea, where he had parted the Red Sea. You got to understand, Gilgal is on the other side. Okay, this is on the other side. They've crossed over, and they're crossed over, and the next city they're next to is called Jericho. And so they, when Jericho heard,
I've seen this movie before.
And they were scared of their God. And so what we have is they were frightened. They said their hearts didn't melt. It's time to move. It's time for you to seize the enemy when God puts a fear in them. Once they start running, honey, chase them. You know, a dog, he'll bark, 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 bark. You start running, he'll chase you. And God had them on the run. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, okay, after he put the fear in the enemy, and after he had made a way, okay, this is the time he said to Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. He's saying, I want you to take advantage of the way that I have prepared and the fear that is in the enemy. But guess what? Before you can cross over, we're going to require circumcision of the flesh. Circumcision. Listen close, my brothers and sisters. Now, women can talk about, you know, childbirth, and we preach a lot about childbirth and all that a woman goes through. That's fine, but this is the men's time. And so he said, I want you to circumcise away the superfluous flesh. I want you to take away that part that you don't need. I want you to take away the part that gets dirty and it's hard to clean and it's filthy and it's unproductive before you get into the promises of God. Oh, my Lord. You need to get rid of that superfluous flesh. Get rid of that part of the flesh that you can do without. Get rid of the needless, non-essential, fleshly part that profiteth nothing and it is difficult to keep clean. Get rid of the crevices that's in your heart that harbors anger and animosity and all these things that people don't see until it's time to be manifested. Are you understanding what I'm trying to teach you this morning? These people believed, but they were not circumcised. And circumcision had began not with them. Circumcision had began with their forefather Abraham. Oh, Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham, the first one who gave the sign of the covenant through the circumcision of the foreskin. He was the first one that cut away. Let me tell you, the cutting away is not a 180. That's bad. It's a 360. Circumcision. It's a complete turning around. And Abraham was the first one. Oh my goodness. When you think about Abraham, the Bible says when he got ready to make a covenant with God, he said, I want this thing so bad that you're going to offer me where the promises of God. He went out and sharpened a rock. I found some arrowheads one time. Y'all just bear with me in my folly. I found some arrowheads one time, and you take those arrowheads and like, man, how in the world did they kill anything with this? Lord, have mercy. And I found something that was funny looking. It was flat on the top, and it was like this, and it had, you know, a place to hook up to an arrow or something. I didn't know what it was, so I asked somebody that was real astute in this. I said, this is a funny looking arrowhead. He said, that's not an arrowhead. It's a knife. And I went, and I thought, poor Abraham. No wonder he was the father of faith. technology must have advanced. And now we have Joshua who's getting sharp knives. The cutting away of the superfluous flesh. Joshua, you are the right person to bring them over. But until you circumcise those that were not circumcised along the way. Amen. I made promises to your forefathers, but they didn't take care of your foreskin. And now I'm ready to bring you into the promises of God. And now I don't care if you're 40 years old or how old you are. It's time to get a knife out and cut away the superfluous flesh in your life. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. No matter how much it is, cut it off, because you cannot walk in the promises of God and tell little bitty lies. You cannot walk in the promises and steal little bitty things. You cannot walk in the promises of God and have lustful thought. You cannot do it. You got to cut it away. Oh, my Lord. Amen. I wish I could tell you they had anesthesia, but they didn't even have that back then. And Joshua made, verse 3, sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but the people that were born in the wilderness, these desert babies, they were born, by the way, as they came out of Egypt, them, they had not been circumcised. Why are we doing this? It doesn't make you a better believer. You can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and never do anything. You can say, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ, and never conquer anything. But you believe you can. I want to teach you how to walk into the promises of God, because he's going to sign it and you're going to write it. Amen. They walked for 40 years circumcised and died and never claim the promise. And I'm here to tell somebody, until you get rid of carnality and the works of the flesh, God may put up with that for a season, but I'm telling you, you'll never walk in the promises of God until you get rid of the things that harbor unhealthy things. And God is ready to bring somebody this morning to a new level where they can walk into the promises of God and receive the things that God has for them. And he told Joshua, stop right.